Good energy fills me. I feel the love. I know it's not me. It's from above. I'm overflowing. I feel the good. It's something on me strongly. If you feel me, everybody throw your hands up and say, we know. His blessings on me, I feel the grace. I don't deserve it, it's just his pace. I'm aerial surfing, gone with the wind. His hand is on me, if you agree, can't explain it simply. Go ahead and throw your hands up. I woke up this morning,
thank you, God,
to get it in. No, I'm not playing, this is my trend. No, I'm not perfect, I wanna get it right. So I encourage my own self, turn left, focus on my own shelf. Reach for the top, don't stop.
Ooh, hand.
Yeah. I feel good, I'm so grateful. I feel good, I'm so thankful. I feel good, man, I'm so blessed. I feel good, hands up.
Teacher, Father, right now we're asking right now that you would bless us with the intelligence of your wisdom and giving us in the revelation of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We ask that you bless the eyes of our understanding so that we will better understand what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, the inheritance you have in the saints, the great and exceeding power that you've made available to them that submit and obey you. Father God, right now, I ask that you bless us with the knowledge of your will and give us the strength and the courage to carry it out so that we will be fruitful in every good work approved of by you. Bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. Father God, I ask you, bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your people and even my own, and I thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. You know, I tell you, it's a blessing, amen, to know this. And we're talking about a covenant. And being that it's been a few weeks, we're going to recover some things. And, you know, it's the reality is that we have to understand the need. And that helps. You know, there's a Facebook page called Christian versus Covenant. I mean, Christian versus Atheist. And they ask questions that a lot of Christians aren't prepared to answer. You know, and I found that when you give them an answer, I don't expect them to really readily accept it, because in reality, I know that for them to understand, they would have to have a revelation that they can only get from God. You know, God alone can give a revelation. You know, Jesus said, no man comes to the Father except by me. Okay? And then he said, no man come to me except the Father draw him. Okay? Going back over, so for them, they can't, unless we intercede as someone did for us, they can't know God. You cannot mentally ascend to this knowledge. You can't, you know, as a matter of fact, one individual I could detect by the way he was expressing, he had a high amount of knowledge of Bible history and theology, but yet he has turned away from Christ. Well, he turned away from religion. Because I asked him, I posed a question to which he did not answer. Do you have the Holy Spirit? Now, if he went to a theological seminary, I'm going to leave that alone. I'm going to go on. But they did not bring him to Christ. See, you got to understand, Satan knows the Bible. He's been at it since before it began. Okay? So knowing that the Bible and quoting scripture and even going to church doesn't make you a Christian. That comes one way only. You have to make a commitment to Christ, which creates a covenant between you and God. You can't, to know him, you must have the Holy Spirit. To enter into his kingdom, you must have the Holy Spirit. And that he is not a feeling, he is a person that is introduced into your spirit by God, provided and only if you have been washed in the blood of Jesus. Otherwise, he can't make contact. He won't make contact. So, see, all this is significant. And what you have in the Old Testament is a kind of a breakdown analysis of the entirety of the beginning process. Even though we've been here for Bible years, 6,000 years, we're at the embryonic stage. We're at the embryo. We really just beginning, and we haven't even, you know, even though man think he's made some great leaps and bounds with his little newfound toy technology, we ain't nowhere. Okay, because Jesus in John. Chapter 20, verse 19 and 26, teleported. We haven't even arrived there. We dream about it. They make movies about it. But that Jesus is able to do that now. Not only him, Philip, the disciple in Acts 8:39, teleported. You know, I've watched some groups try to describe it as something else. It's just, you know, he just got up and walked away. Because the reality of what we're dealing with eludes them. Before they made that comment, I would love to. There were some people that have been back years ago. But you see, I qualify the unusual things with God. Because now think about who we are dealing with. We're dealing with a God that don't have a birthday, that always is, that is omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. I mean, that right there speaks a lot. And so they try to reason, bring it down to human level. This is why, this is how religions were developed. See, rather than seek God for revelation and guidance, they decided to create what they thought it was about. That's why you have the marketing of, in the early days of Christianity, with one denomination created this place called Purgatory. And in Purgatory, if your relative died, they go to Purgatory. And if you pay them enough, your relative will get out. The problem, and then on top of that, they don't even give you an out date. See, and that comes from, again, people not seeking God. Now, I understood them getting away and even coming up with some craziness back then. That was almost 1,500, 2,000 years ago. But what about today? Today we have the Bible tools. We have everything, commentary, people that God has had direct contact, that he still has direct contact. We have the Holy Spirit. They had the Holy Spirit, but they never asked him. That's how you get lost, you know. The Bible tells us to prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. I mean, you're talking about your life. You get this wrong, you don't get to go, okay, I got it now. You don't get to come up out of hell and say, okay, I got it. You know, you don't do 30 days down there. Ain't no probation period down there. Once you down there, you're down there. All right. So now another thing that a covenant brings to light is that it identifies that everybody is not automatically entitled to the provisions of God. Now, that's a distinction that needs to be understood, that in our day, having not received Christ, Jesus Christ, that is, as Lord and Savior, then you're not entitled to God's promises. And a lot of people are finding that out right now. I watch some of these documentaries on what's going on in the world and all the tragedy that's happening, all the floods and things that are happening with people. They actually, they chose, in one particular case, they chose Islam, and as a result, they have no power. They have religion, but they have no power. See, you know, it's something distinctive. Let me see if I can find that right quick. That God said to Noah, where he distinguished, which is rare, in the fact that God himself stated to Noah that he was going to bring forth the flood. I wanted to read that. I forgot where I saw that. But anyway, what am I reading? NIV? Okay. But the point of the matter is that God brought, in that particular case, God brought the flood. But in the case, in the situations that are occurring now, it is not God. It is the prince of the power of the air, a.k.a. Satan. So, you know, and that needs to be distinguished in the fact that we have been, right now, right now what's going on and all the drama that's going on. I look on TV and I see floods happening everywhere. Well, Genesis 6:13 in the NIV, it says, God said to Noah, I am going to put an end to all the people, for the earth is filled with violence, because I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make you, that's, then after that, he proceeded to give Noah instructions. Okay? Now, and then it begins another part of the covenant that he made with Noah, which is known as the Noahic covenant. Just as a review, let me go back through these. There were seven covenants that are known throughout the Bible, and that's the Adamic covenant, which God made in Genesis 1:26, where he had declared that he would make man in his own image and likeness. And one of the things that I believe and have been taught, and I'm not the only one that believe and have been taught, teach, that that's when, because right now, that covenant stands in that we have authority over the earth. God set it up that way. That's why you really have to understand the how the word of God operates and how God operates with man. Because I hear prayers in which they ask God to do something. This lady wanted God to stop the rain. Well, see, one, she didn't have no power. So I understand her asking God to stop the rain. But in our case, we have authority. Acts 1:8 tells us, after that the Holy Ghost come upon you, you shall have power. Now, you got to think about who's giving, whose power that is, who said that, that was Jesus, and whose power that is. It's the power of God. The Holy Ghost is not just some, he is a person. If you don't think he's a person, look at Acts 13:2 where he talks, and that's not the only place. But we're here to learn, and you're not going to learn without challenge. That's just not part of the deal. That just comes with it because God understands being God. We do not. We're learning. Look at society and look at how crazy it is. And it's been that way. It's nothing new, as it said, under the sun. So what they are, what they, people now that think they have arrived, think they know everything, are finding out they don't, you know, right now. I remember some years ago, not too many years, 3-4 years ago, the president of China indicated that he was a god. Well, he was, in his case, there was no one above him. Except now, the Yangtze River over there, which is a reason why y'all need to be praying about God. We're not going to have extreme food shortages in America, at least not in my neighborhood. But there may be some higher prices due to a shortage because the Yangtze River, from which a lot of products come down, is drying up. So you can check that out on YouTube. I mean, it has become mud puddles. And there's a lot of areas where the ships have to pass. That's not the only place that is occurring. But this is occurring. Okay, he claimed he's a god, but he's not. He can't make no rain. They over there shooting rockets in the air and trying to season the clouds like the farmers did or do now. But see, it's a lot simpler to just go before God. I mean, he could repent. That nation could repent and go before God, and they'll have the necessary amount of rain. Even here in America, it's the same thing. The Colorado River is running dry and dropped 120 feet. And as a result, California may begin to have what they call rolling blackouts. Okay? And again, that's because a lot of people have chosen to follow, quote, religious ideologies. All right? In other words, they don't want to ascend to where the Bible says they should be. They even call people names. They call them holy rollers. They call them that too religious, you know, and criticize them. I don't. Well, now you got a water shortage, okay? You got a big water shortage. And then on the other end, you're getting floods where you don't need them at. And that's not, see, you got to look at the difference. With the flood, it flooded the whole earth at one time, every place. Not some places around the world. Our Grand Canyon in America was made by the floods. That's documented scientific fact based on their map, which I don't particularly agree with, but you can't deny the Grand Canyon. According to them, it would take another 10 million years to make the Grand Canyon. And see, and all this is about having access to the power of God. You know, I've heard several years now, at least 3-4 years, men of God were saying that God was going to basically be hands-off. And see, because a lot of pastors are not seeking God for his direction. They, you know, they didn't ask him what his plans is, which are subject to change based on our response. They didn't know. And so a lot of Christians don't know that right now, if you're not cooperating or operating according, excuse me, to the word, you're not going to get anything. In other words, you don't pray, God ain't going to answer. See, the purpose is for us to, one, understand God is God. And he called the shots, and that we have access to tremendous power. And then once you begin to understand that, how much power we actually have, then you begin to see why life presents challenges, because, again, the foundation of training day is based on 1 John 3:2, and where it says, although it does not yet appear when we see him, we shall be as he is. You know, and it amazed me, again, I call it the humanists, try to reduce that to saying that, oh, we'll just all look identical, like that movie 1984 where everybody was dressed the same. No, and that's supposed to eliminate jealousy. No, listen. God's standard for eliminating jealousy and envy is in 1 Corinthians 13, 4-8, and it's called love. The word that it used in the King James is charity, but the actual Greek word is agape. And it is said, if you read that, you will see nothing in there about emotions. It won't see that. It says nothing about the person qualifies to deserve it or will return it to you. Although you like to believe it's mutual, God does, you know. God operates in agape love. I wouldn't be here if he didn't, believe me. Okay, so what we're talking about is that God is, he's been drawing a picture of the relationship. Remember, we're going through three phases. We're about to go through the third phase of man, to the third part in which man, your structure, your humanity is going to be so totally different. You won't get tired and have pain and get cold and sick, and you can eat food just for the pleasure of it. You won't need it as an energy source. It's a total different life. You'll be able to travel throughout the universe, and that's tremendous power. And you cannot give that, or will not give that, God won't give that to a person that's not going to do what he say do. And so the only way for us to recognize what this is for us to experience life the way he designed it. Okay? Now, the purpose of a covenant is to establish, one, that God loves us. He loves us. As I said earlier, agape style love. We don't deserve it. You don't earn it. He just decided. When he decided, it's people with children understand that. Children come here with nothing. They come with a need. And parents, honorable parents, sane parents, meet those needs. Some of them over-meet them. That's why we get some of them today that don't quite understand, and they tend to think they're entitled, but they're not. That's the other thing. You have to understand, you're not entitled to nothing. The fact that my father got my mother pregnant entitles me to nothing. Okay? And this is what God, see, it's our nature. That man is, I heard, once I heard this, it was one of them, I call them epiphany statements that take you, your mind to another level. It said, man is a God class, small g, God class being. And again, I've been trying to in different ways, in different times, trying to express, amen, how that is, and the fact that when you look at the creation of Adam, okay, and as I said, when God made Adam, when he, in Genesis 1:26, when he said, let us make man in our own image and likeness, we understand the image part. It's the likeness part that we are missing. And we see that in that man is a spirit. He has a mind, will, and emotion. That's how we can relate to each other. And he lives in the body. We all live in the body. Amen. My spirit sends my brain signals. My brain sends the signals out to my body, such as right now, my vocal cords, my eyes, and all the things involved, my jaw bones, muscles, and all the cells are energized in a specific manner in order for me to speak. And on your end, yours, amen, your ears are grabbing vibrations out of the air and analyzing them so that you understand the tones of my voice and know what I'm saying. That's the God class being. And when you leave the body, your intellectual capability goes off the charts. See, you know, the in the book of Luke, chapter 16, as I've said repeatedly, there are two men, two rich men, by the way, having a conversation. There's a 500-year difference in their age, and we're not talking about a time when they had internet and pictures, and they had no way of knowing one from the other. Only through intellectual instinct was Dives able to know who Abraham was. Now, Abraham was not the only person there. Okay, matter of fact, all the saints that died before Christ was there at that time. Okay, they're not there now. Just the sinners are left on the side with Dives, okay, the ones that never committed to God. Anyway, all right, so all this relates to the covenant, so it's important to understand that God needed to, he set a standard, but and it speaks of his intention and it speaks of his love. I know it don't seem like it sometimes when we go through the different challenges of life, okay? But a covenant is an agreement between two parties, and there's a covenant with conditions, and there's a covenant without conditions. And obviously, well, the first covenant was without conditions. The second covenant, which is the Noahic covenant, is without conditions, okay? And that began with just before the flood, because everybody on the earth was clowning big time, and God was getting ready to wash it down. So he's like, I'm through with y'all, you know. And that period, the first six chapters of the Bible, covers a 2,000-year period, you know. I remember when I first did the math on that, and what I was using was the genealogies, and I just dealt with the birthdays, and then I read a book that said the same thing, which, you know, the Bible says, out of mouth of two or three witnesses, shall a thing be established. And I've heard other, you know, authorities on the Bible say the same thing. All right. We talked about the fact that there's a difference between a contract and a covenant. I used to think they were the same, but they're not really. Covenant is based on trust, contract, distrust, you know. Even though you may trust the person you have a contract with, basically, you don't sue over a covenant. You can't go to court and sue somebody. You just miss out on the benefits. And in our case, God brings to the table everything. And it's amazing that when we get, like I said, that God created this covenant with Noah, and where my notes at? And this is really weird. My notes printed out and did not print the scripture. I think that's something. It ain't number the enemy. It's technology. But anyway, I got the Bible. I got the Bible. Anyway, let me see where I can find. I need to find this in English. But anyway, bottom line is God, he could have from day one just decided that, you know, I'm done with y'all. Because at one while, later on, we'll find that he got so tired of the children of Israel being so ignorant that he told Moses he was going to kill them all and start all over with him. But anyway, so God made a covenant with him. He made an agreement with him before and after the flood. Hold on. I'm not going to let the enemy get by this, you know. Give me a second here. Because I want you to, I really hope I can get across to you the significance of and the importance. Genesis 6:18, God tells Noah, he said, but with you I will establish my covenant, and you shall come into the ark. Now, again, a covenant is agreement for provision and protection and, amen, to establish you in a relationship between man and God. And it also, like I said, everybody doesn't have that. I mean, everybody's entitled to it. They can ask for it. And in our day and age, what happens when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And it's amazing. It's a 10-second process, but it gives you eternal benefits. You know, and it's, because God's intent is not for you to be without. And there's a process that it goes through. You know, new people, it's like a baby. Babies get all the attention. God is not going to teach you. If you're just not coming into Christ, he's not, his expectation of you isn't the same as it is for me. You know, I've been a Christian 45 years. I can't give God no excuses. I mean, he's merciful, and I do. I ain't perfect gonna be. You know, you'll be for a while, but trust me, at some point in time, you won't be. And what God demands is accountability, not excuses. And if you ask him anything, ask for a revelation of how you do what you do and how to overcome your shortcomings. He knows he made us, and he knows for us to get it right every time, all the time, we would have to be God. Okay, so the first portion of the Noahic covenant was in Genesis 6:9, and then you had the flood. And it's really kind of astounding. I wrote this down somewhere. But one of the things about covenants, let me bring this notes, is they have, I would call it let me read you from my notes. With covenants, there are promises, okay? In Genesis 9, when God said he gave us dominion over the world, over the man, dominion over all the seas and all the animals and everything, over the earth, that still remains today. Particularly for us that's in Christ, we've regained what was lost with Adam's sin. If you remember, I talked about the fact that after Adam's sin, Satan gained control, okay? And I believe in Luke 4:6, when Satan was trying to scam Jesus with the same scam or greater scam, Jesus did not deny when Satan said that this world has been delivered unto him. There was no dispute, you know? And the fact is, the way things run, and it's a lot on that, but the bottom line is Satan, Genesis, 2 Corinthians 4:4, call him the god of this world. Ephesians 2:2, I believe, call him the prince of the power of the air, which is what he does. That's when his authority is over the weather. This is where you have to exalt your authority. Now, you can't do that unless you have accepted Christ. And Christ is not Jesus' last name. I have some videos on that. It's 15 of them, I believe, explaining that aspect because it's very crucial. This is not simple, okay? This is beyond collegiate. It takes years to understand completely, but you can get the gist of it enough to be blessed and protect yourself. Amen. Like I said, a covenant, four things, aspects about a covenant is that they have promises, they have terms, they have blood, and a token or a seal. Okay, in this case, in Adam's case, the seal, the blood that was shed after their sin, I believe in Genesis 3:17, somewhere around in there, is when God shed the first blood. That's what I share with vegetarian Christians that still think that we're supposed to be vegetarians. It ain't a bad idea in a lot of cases, even though they find people with vegetarians with high cholesterol, so, you know, and other problems that we basically have. Everybody's supposed to stop doing with anything that hurts them. That's just common sense. And Christians should have common sense. All right. So you're going to have those aspects. I'm not going to go. I try to identify them in each case, but they do. Well, we probably will, because in this case, let me see right here. All right. In Genesis chapter 8, now this is after the flood, and the water done abated, and they about to exit. And in verse 20, it says, "And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar." Now, mind you, this is some 1,500 years before the law, the Mosaic covenant, which comes after the next covenant, which is the Abrahamic covenant. All right? So, again, now, so obviously, by him doing this is something that had been taught since Adam. And that practice, again, because when you offer anything to God, it's costing you. David, I believe, it says, "Shall I render unto the Lord that which cost me nothing?" But it also is acknowledging that the Lord is your God, okay? And that you recognize that he is an authority above you, something that Mr. Gigi Peens haven't figured out yet, but I'm praying for him, and, you know, it's up to him to receive the revelation because he had to put his pride aside. Anyway, but you see here that he's carrying on the practice. Now, mind you, this has been 2,000 years that this has been going on. So it didn't – see, and that's the other thing, too, recently – it became a controversy, but over tithing. The tithing controversy, I've been hearing about that since I've been delivering. That's been 45 years. It comes down to this. What do you believe about God? That's what it always comes down to. You could argue this is before the law. You're going to find later on that God ordered this, put this as, quote, law, meaning it have to be. Here, it's not, okay? But he, again, it had been established. Why? Because God responds to it. Matter of fact, let's read what it says. It says, "And the Lord," and the Lord, and it's got all caps. Remember I told y'all, when it's got all caps, that means it's Jehovah, even though he had not given. The writer wrote that. Now, this particular writer, let me tell you a little bit about the book of Genesis. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy were written by Moses. Some 3,500 years after Adam had been born, okay? So he uses terms, and it's amazing the controversy this creates with people not having that understanding. And when you see that, understand, when you see his name, it's a boasting title that nobody else can have. And that, God got it like that. He got it like that. So it isn't an issue of when he specified in Exodus chapter 3 when he began to utilize out there. That's in, so it says, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. And this is a often quoted scripture, and it's very impactful, and it makes a big difference in our life. And it says, while the earth remaineth, seed, it says seed time, but it actually should have been separated. But anyway, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. That's why we have four seasons. But anyway, but again, the main thing here is, if we're going to find another aspect of this covenant, real quick, anyway, okay, so we just read right now where God made a covenant with Noah. Noah put an offering before Jehovah, before God. Amen. El Shaddai, El Elyon. God got one. He got many names, trust me. But his names always indicate three things: omniscient, omnipotence, and omnipresence. And he is the only one, because he said it repeatedly. Ain't no other God. But anyway, you go to Tolkien in this covenant, and this is in Genesis chapter 9, verse 12. And it says, and God said, this is the token of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations, which would include us. I do set my bow, a.k.a. rainbow, in the cloud, and it shall be a token of a covenant between me and the earth. It shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature, and all flesh in the water shall no more become a flood to destroy the earth, destroy all flesh. Okay? But anyway, so the true meaning, it's amazing how Satan made plays on that. The first play he made on that, years ago they started this thing about at the end of a rainbow was a pot of gold, and the leprechauns hid it there, and that marked a hiding place. Now, that came from people that either didn't believe or didn't read the Bible, probably both, you know. And now lately the gay people have taken it to use it as, they call it, a symbol of inclusion. But, you know, and that's just Satan trying to be distortive. But the fact of the matter is a remembrance of judgment, which they don't understand that, okay, he said he wasn't going to flood the earth. But that, you know, so that just means the whole earth ain't going to be covered by a flood. But that doesn't, you know, flying a rainbow does not give you a coverage from God, okay? But bottom line, I'm just trying to highlight some things, but it is representative of the fact that God intended to include, as he states, every living creature in all flesh. You know, again, as you saw, Noah sacrificed animals, you know, they don't have that same value as a human. I know people like to think I love them, you know. My wife don't like dogs, so I don't have one. But and they're such marvelous creatures, and I really believe that before Adam and them sinned, that man, they were able to talk to the animals. That's why Eve was comfortable talking with the snake. Anyway, yeah, you know, just logic there. All righty then. Okay, we got there. So bottom line is, here is a promise for protection that only God could guarantee. But at the same time, I mean, you really got to try this. The next time a storm is approaching your area, I don't even care what kind, tornado, whatever, you're in right standing with God. I get people, God is God. Okay, you can't lock God. I can't lock God in to seven principles. So when I talk about there's seven principles for getting a prayer answered, understand that God, this reflects on someone particularly like me that's mature, been around, or somebody that's been going to church for 25 years, but they ain't never learned anything. Okay? This does not, as a new believer, recently restored believer, God will walk you through the process. He will, as time go on, tell you what you need to tighten up on. He'll let you get by, I believe it's Acts 17:30, but in 17th chapter of Acts, where it says, where it talks about the fact that there's a time period that God will ignore because we don't really understand. But again, as I've stated that I've sit up under one of the finest teachers. We're in a dead age that if you're paying attention, if you're at it daily, you can't give God no excuse. And don't even seek an excuse. Seek to learn to master, okay, your authority. Because, again, at the end of the day, when we go into the next life, you ain't going to get no leeway. That's why it says in Revelations, I believe, chapter 19, that Jesus is going to rule with a rod of iron. Now, again, I'm open to, I know people have all kind of definitions, but if you can back it up with scripture or even some good reasoning, why would he have iron when he could use gold, platinum, you know? He gonna use iron. Because why? Again, just as angels don't get leeway to the degree that we do. Why? Because they don't have flesh. They don't get tired. They don't get sick. They don't get hungry. They don't have that. All they got to do is, I don't even know if they ate. People say they do. I don't see them needing to. They don't have to. They don't experience life that we. They can't make excuses. They don't know we're sick, tired, and hungry. That's another whole study, okay? But again, we're talking about God's intention. And his intention, and it also speaks to the magnitude of us as being. I really can't see God going through all this if this was simply about us just living through this life just to get to the place where we just going to live every day happily ever after. We're going to live every day happily ever after. But I really believe, if you look at some of the basic facts of life, we right now utilize a lot of power. Think about this. Look at what we do now with technology. Look at this. We didn't stumble onto some new math that gives us this ability. If you study math and its history, you will find out that at minimum 3,500 years. Matter of fact, going back to this time period with Noah, shortly after that began a group of people, I believe, after Noah, called the Sumerians. And their math level was high. Their technology was high level. They was going there. They would have gotten there had God not stopped them. I mean, that just speaks for itself. All right? So we got through the Noahic covenant, and now we're going through a covenant that really represents Christ. All of them in one aspect to another really leads to Christ. And Christ, really, that name, whenever you hear the Christ name, it speaks of a connection between God and man. It's a title that is not as simple. People generally speak of it as though it just is Jesus' last name, and he was in the Christ family. That was not Mary's name, was not Joseph's name. That was a title. It speaks of between man and God, this perfect person between man and God. Because it's really something. And don't just ask God. Because one, I may not be able to explain it to you in the way that you need to hear it. You know, this is why, I'm reading a book right now, and this is why I say don't read the Bible without praying. Don't read a book about the Bible without praying. And don't watch a video now without praying and asking God for revelation. Because, I mean, think about it. We all speak different languages. That's just our nature. So, again, I may be expressing something that may not come across, somebody else may express the same thing, and it will come across. All right? But I'm just trying to highlight you to the fact that God intend for you to succeed. This is why he created this. Okay? If he wanted us to be just like, he want all men. We're going to find when we get to the law that he made it so that all men could have access to this. And actually, when you look at the details, when we get through some of the Abrahamic covenant, we're going to see that his intention was for it to be all men. Why not? He created all men from Adam and Eve. All of us came from the same source. And then after the flood, we all came from Noah, which is why I don't see why people are tripping over that. Okay? All right? So the next covenant we're going to is in Genesis chapter 12. And again, this speaks to the fact that God intended to have a relationship with us. But again, that we need to understand that God is the Lord. Okay? He is our God. There is none above him, including us. And we should not exalt anyone above him, you know. And people do that. You see it now. You've seen it throughout history. You know, Christians exalted Adolf Hitler above God. And I can't even get part of a reasoning with that. And you will see that throughout history that people have done that, you know. But anyway, so again, and this is roughly about 1,000 years after the flood. So God brings a man named Abraham. Abraham is where you get by nature is Hebrew. That basically, it's a cultural. And the family, you know, when I was my first year in Bible school, I was given Abraham, and I was surprised and how much information I could find out about him outside the Bible. And here in Michigan, we have a library in the Henry Ford Centennial Library that has, it is a gold mine for information. And that was where I learned why God gave Abraham these instructions. Let me start this out. We're in Genesis chapter 12. And God is talking to Abraham. He said, now the Lord said, again, we got all caps, but remember Moses wrote that in. And matter of fact, I'm going to go ahead and read this. It says, and the Lord said to Abram, now at this time his name is Abram, okay, not Abraham. God changes it later on. And he said, get thee out of thy country, from your mother's kindred and from your father's house, unto a land I will show thee. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curses thee. In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now the first part, you know, my first time I read through the Bible back in 1976, when I got to this chapter and I read that verse, now at the time I didn't know that the name Jew would come later, but anyway, I knew that it refers to Jewish people. I knew it referred to the nation of Israel. And that's because of what I heard while I was going to church. But when I read that, this is one of those scriptures, and there's several of them. When I read it, I'm like, okay, God, I'm good. I agree 100%. And I've never deviated from that. And it really amazed me because I grew up hearing people speak negatively of the Jewish people, not realizing that this was still in play. Okay? This is why Hitler is, I don't know where Hitler is, truth be told. Because if he was smart, he might have repented before he died. People are going to get surprised. I don't know. And God is, Paul was the Hitler of his day. So, you know, don't box God in, because he realized, first off, you got to understand, you don't hear mention of Satan, okay, in the first six chapters. Satan is causing all that drama. He's on the nut. And he drives man to a place where God gets so tired of him that he floods the whole earth. Now, and another thing, thank you, Holy Ghost. Atheists are concerned about the fact that God drowned everybody, including the babies. Well, on God's side, he sees people coming through a dimensional door. He don't see them just going off the earth. He see them coming. We see them going. He see them coming. So the impact on him ain't the same as it is for us. Recently, you know, my brother left here. But, you know, knowing the transition of what goes on the other side, you know, he saw him coming. We saw him going. So God is not, it isn't that he doesn't bother him, because it said, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. But they have a saying, but this ain't where that saying came up, but it said, kill them all and let God sort them out. But that's what happens. But that's why I have an ad for my book, and I said, why do good and innocent people wind up in hell? Really, the ones that wind up in hell never made a commitment to God. Back then, the commitment was different, but it really was based on who you addressed as God and how you conducted your behavior. And mind you, they didn't even have a Bible. They hadn't had no written law. Abraham, Noah, Adam, none of them had a written law, but yet we just read that Noah was doing sacrifices and God responded to it and was pleased with it. Okay? Why? Because what's in the Bible is a revelation of what's in the heart of God. When God created Adam, that went into Adam. So it's in our nature. And if you read through the book of Romans, you will find that it testifies that we become a law unto ourselves by our nature. People know good, right from wrong. Kids know right from wrong. You know, they test you. They try to see if they can get by wrong. And that's what humans do. You know, Ecclesiastes 8:11 said, because sentence against an evil deed is not speedily executed, therefore the hearts of the son of men continue in their way. See, the worst thing you can do is decide to keep doing something because you think God accepted, because lightning ain't dropped out of heaven to burn you up. But God is merciful and long-suffering. I can tell you that from experience. Amen. But here, again, he begins out this relationship. So here you got your 1,000 years after flood. Now, you know, people argue over what them time back. The point of the matter is, but and man had quickly evolved into idolatry. Now, making God in his own image, in his imagination. Rather than do, I have to believe that at some point in time, Abraham was looking at all the many idols. Matter of fact, the paper that I did said that his culture believed in 57 gods. You know, the number varies, but the point is, they had decided there's a god of the rain, god of the flood, god of the sea, god of this, god of that. It's amazing, though, what you won't find in history. You will not find a total atheist culture. You'll find some unbelievers, but you will not find a whole culture that believe there is no God. Even if they made the man a God or they created a God, you will always find some type of artifact of a God. You'll never find the into the nothing. Okay? Check out Acts chapter 17 on that. But anyway, all right. So at some point in time, and I say this based on my own experience. There came a point where I'm like, okay, I called God by every name I had heard, including Buddha. I'm like, Lord, God, Buddha, Jehovah, you need to make yourself known to me, because it looked like everybody else doing their own thing, and if I don't get a revelation, I'm going to do my own thing. On November 16th, 1976, he astonished me. Okay, he astonished me. He showed me love like I could never have known. And that's why I am the way that I am. And it's not as astonishing, I guess, to everybody. I don't know why, but that ain't my business. But, you know, you'll find I learned then why people are so, you know, before what I was trying to see, how can they hold on to this invisible God like they do? Like my mother was just, she was just, God gonna work this, and he, and it did, you know. You try to reason that in your mind, but I grew up in it. Watching my, you know, I grew up in a family where there was one person working. I grew up when there was high levels of racism and hatred, and yet it never came, it came near my house, but not in my house. Yeah, it was because I was provoking them people. But anyway, but the bottom line is, look what God's intention is. Abraham, physically, mentally, is not so outstanding as we're going to see that he reached a place where he was, God was like Enoch. Enoch was, it's Enoch, we should have talked about that. Maybe we will next week. Enoch walked with God. That's what it says. It says Enoch walked with God and God took him. He was the first person to be raptured. He's like, you know what, you don't even need to be down there with them folk. Come on up here with me. Me and you going to walk and talk. You got it right. Amen. But anyway, all right. So we're going to pick up with Abraham next week and the Abrahamic covenant. And y'all pray for me because this is, I'm learning some things myself, and God is blessing. Amen. And so maybe you've never known Jesus, or maybe you don't understand this life. I'm going to tell you, you can't ascend to it. You can read books galore. You can watch movies. You can go to church. But if you really want to know this, you need it from the inside. And the only way you can get it from the inside is you got to be washed in the blood. And the only way you can get washed in the blood is to invite Christ Jesus into your heart. And so we're going to give you the opportunity right now. All you have to do is say this simple prayer. And this will create a covenant, and it legally prevents Satan from God, prevents Satan from being able to block God from communicating with you. Other than that, because you were born into Satan's kingdom, that's why you have to be born again. And this is what the process is to get you going. It says, Lord God, I believe that Jesus is your son. I believe you are the only true God. I believe you sent your son to die on Calvary's tree to save us. And I acknowledge that we were born in sin, and I ask forgiveness for my sin. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart and to save me now. And I believe in my heart, and I say with my mouth that I am saved and I am born again and I am forgiven. That's how easy it is. It's even easier than what Noah and them had to do. You didn't have to cut up no animals. You didn't have to make no sacrifice. That was all you did. Now you can sit and communicate with God at any time on a regular basis. You can ask him questions 4 o'clock in the morning. Hallelujah. Okay, but anyway, just remember this. Prayer is God trusting you with his power. Prayer works by faith. Faith works by love. And faith works by love. And God is love. Amen. All right. God bless you. See you next week. Shalom.
Said I woke up to the summer, shining through. Calling all my friends, asking what's the move. Feeling a little different, I'm on something new.
Today,
I ain't gonna let no cloud get in my way. The only road I'm walking is the one I pick. Catch me sitting in the sun, no time for shade.
Today,
this is the day that the Lord has made. And I ain't gonna let it slip away. I'm gonna be joyful. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm gonna be joyful. Today. I'm gonna be joyful. Ooh, I'm gonna be joyful. I got
Got the feeling that you get when you get new kicks. Bell ringing on the last day of singing, yeah. High fiving everybody, but we out of here.
Today.
So fast, life comes and goes. Make it last, best slow your roll. They don't take it as a choice, but you gotta know that today's the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. And I ain't gonna let it slip away, nah.
I'm gonna be joyful.
I got the joy, joy down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the J-O-Y down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the joy, joy down in my heart.